शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू वेंट डाउन टू शांति वन टुडे? नियरली ऑल। सो द टॉपिक I have been given to speak on this afternoon is don't give sorrow, don't take sorrow. Baba loves to say this phrase in nearly every murli. Baba says this, children, don't take sorrow, don't give sorrow. Somebody may question, why have you taken the topic in a negative way? Instead, it could be happy and make others happy. Wouldn't that be a better topic? Because don't give sorrow, don't take sorrow, it's a negative way of saying. The positive way would be happy and make others happy. But then we say, be happy and make others happy is the second step. The first step is, don't give sorrow, don't take sorrow. Because the aim is good, to make others happy, to be happy. But sorrow comes so easily. We take sorrow so easily. We give sorrow so easily. And therefore we forget that we have to be happy and also make others happy. So, first of all, we have to understand how we give sorrow. How do we give sorrow? We give sorrow in our thoughts, our words, our actions. How do we give sorrow in our thoughts? Whenever we think anything bad about somebody, anything negative about somebody, immediately we begin to give sorrow. The vibrations which come from us reach that person. So our thoughts carry the vibrations of sorrow. Through our negative thinking, I'll give you a very small example. There's an example of a king, and a sandalwood merchant, a businessman. So one day, the king was on his way. He was moving around in his kingdom, and he saw a big shop where somebody was selling sandalwood sticks, sandalwood, all things made of sandalwood. And he looked at the shop and looked at that person standing there, the owner. And he is telling his assistant that, well, I don't know why I'm having a thought that this person should be hanged. You know, the kings used to say like that. They could give any order. This person should be hanged. I don't know why this thought is coming in my mind. I don't know him, but I think this man should be hanged. So the one who was with him, his assistant, he said, well, why are you having such a thought? He said, I don't know why, but I'm having this thought. I want to hang that person. So this man, the one who was with him, he started wondering why this thought is coming in the king's mind. He's usually a very generous man, generous king, big-hearted king. He loves his people, And such a thought has come in his mind that this one should be hanged. So he thought, let me now investigate. So what he did, the next day he went to that shop and he told the shopkeeper, just have a casual talk with the shopkeeper, and he told him, well, you have big jungle of sandalwood trees and so much sandalwood in your shop. Are you able to sell everything? Because it's very expensive. Sandalwood is not cheap. It's not just ordinary wood. And are you able to sell everything? Is your business going on well? So that sandalwood merchant, well, his sorrow which was inside came out. And he said, well, sir, I don't think so. I'm not very happy because hardly, people buy sandalwood. So, but I have a thought. If this king, the king of this kingdom, if he dies, then people will come to my shop to buy sandalwood sticks because the body has to be cremated and wood is needed. So king dying means they will make the pyre of sandalwood, ordinary wood. Then my sandalwood will be sold. So until the king dies, my sandalwood is not being sold. Now this man, he had a thought, see how the king had this thought that this one should be hanged. It must be because this person, this sandalwood merchant, has a thought that the king should die and all my sandalwood would be sold. His selfishness. This is why the king had the thought that he should be killed. But now I want to change this thought of both. So that person, he didn't reveal who he was. He was in disguise. So he said, okay, well, I want to buy some sandalwood from you. And he brought a good amount of sandalwood from him. So that merchant was very happy that this man has bought some sandalwood from me. So he took that sandalwood and he went to the king, the king's assistant. And he told the king that today I went to that shopkeeper, the sandalwood merchant, he was praising you a great deal, praising you like anything. He was saying that there has never been such a king like that, and really he's one of the best kings I've ever seen. So he was praising you. And he has given this present for you, this sandalwood for you. So the king was surprised. This merchant has given me sandalwood present. And I was thinking that he should be killed. He should be hanged. But he's such a good man that he has sent this present for me. And then he said, okay, just invite him tomorrow to my palace. And the next day he went again and said, the king is inviting you to his palace. And this man was so afraid. Maybe he thought that the king has got the news that the king, this person is thinking that if the king dies, then my sandalwood would be sold. But instead it was the other way around. The king was so happy with him and he wanted to greet him, he wanted to give him more presents and wanted to apologize to him that why I had such a thought for you that you should be hanged. This is why the king called him. But when the person got the information that the king is inviting you, he was so afraid because he thought that maybe the king has come to know that I want him to die and so that my sandalwood is sold. But then what he did, so when he went to the king, the first thing he did was to lie prostrate, to apologize, to say sorry for such a wrong thought he had of the king. It was a very negative thought about the king, so he apologized, said, I'm very sorry that I had such a thought about you. And the king was surprised because he never actually knew that this merchant was thinking in a negative way about him. So, on the contrary, the king said, I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to you because I had the thought that you should be hanged. Now just imagine. I'm so sorry, the king said, I had such a thought. And that merchant said, I'm so sorry that I had such a wrong thought about you. So they both said sorry to each other and they both embraced each other. And in this way, they both became very good friends. So just imagine, what was the reason for those negative thoughts? For such a drastic step they wanted to take, that the king should die or that king thinking that this merchant should be hanged. It was because one person had a negative thought and that traveled to the king, and the king had a thought that he should be killed. And when this thought changed, immediately everything became positive. So we can understand that it's all in the mind, they say. As you think, so you become. And therefore, how I give sorrow through my thoughts. And therefore, Baba says, if you give sorrow through your thoughts, then you will automatically experience sorrow. Because whatever you give, that you will get back. This is the law of karma. So if you want to not get sorrow, then you have to not give sorrow. And first is with the through the thoughts. Because usually we give sorrow through actions also, through words also. But sorrow through words and actions is not possible without giving sorrow through thoughts. It's only first you have the thoughts and then the words come and then the actions come. Sometimes you may be extempore, just get upset and get angry and say some abusive words maybe, which could give sorrow to the other person. And maybe at that time even the thought had not come in your mind. It just came in action, it just came in words without it coming in the thoughts. But mind you, if it has come in words, if it has come in actions, it may be that it did not come in the thoughts at that moment, but it must have come in the thoughts at some other time. And it must have come at some other time. And you had suppressed that negative thought maybe at that time and not brought it into words and actions. But then for how long can it remain suppressed? It will definitely come into expression. It will definitely come into action. But then if we do not want that negative thought to come into words and actions, then we have to nip it in the bud at that very moment. A seed, if it's a live seed, it will definitely sprout somehow or the other, sometime or the other. So if you don't want the seed to sprout, you have to destroy it. And by putting it in the fire, only when you put it in the fire, the seed will not then sprout at any time. It has to be burnt. And therefore, Baba says, if a negative thought is coming and maybe you did not bring it into words, did not bring it into actions at that time, but at any other time, it will emerge. It's not that you did not think about it, you did not actually feel about it at that time, but it just came. Sometimes we say, well, I did not really mean it. I was not having any bad feelings for you. I don't know how I said these words. I really have very good feelings for you. But then, if the wrong words came, it means that there must have been some bad feelings about that person. Maybe not now, but in the past, which were expressed at this time. And therefore, Baba says, you have to check your thoughts every moment. What am I thinking? There's a saying, think before you think what you are going to think. Does it make sense? Can you think before you think what you are going to think? It means that you have to be aware of what you are thinking. Don't go astray in your thoughts. Sometimes we do go astray. You know, we just think anything and then we are just lost in those thoughts. And ultimately they become negative thoughts. We don't even realize how negative they have become. Maybe we do start with positive thoughts. But positive thoughts need energy. Negative thoughts don't need any energy. Just like it's very easy to fall. You don't need any strength to fall. But you do need strength to rise. You know, when you're climbing steps, you need strength to climb. But if you're falling, what strength do you need? The gravitational force is already there in the atmosphere that is making you fall. You don't have to use your strength. But in order to rise, you have to use your strength. And therefore we say that maybe you start, even conversation, you start with a very positive thought, a very positive conversation about somebody. Maybe it's a gossip. Okay. And then you start off with a very positive, oh, he's such a good person, his score is so good and so on. And gradually the negativity is out. The negativity comes out. You started with positivity, but you were dragged by your thoughts, and then you turn those thoughts into negative thoughts. And then ultimately, what do you achieve? Only sorrow. Do you achieve happiness? What do you think? You achieve only sorrow. Because it has not only polluted your mind, it has polluted the other one's mind, it has polluted the atmosphere and all those who were in the group or whatever. So it will not ultimately give you happiness. It will lead only to sorrow. And therefore Baba says, if you give sorrow in thoughts or words or actions, you receive sorrow first. Sometimes maybe we are not giving sorrow face to face, but even if we are gossiping negative things about somebody else, it is like giving sorrow. Definitely it is giving sorrow. Because I have no right to judge anybody, really. Do I have any right to judge anyone? No, I'm not anyone's judge. I'm not anyone's lawyer also. I don't have to take his side too. I cannot even judge anybody. I can only become a detached observer. I can still keep good feelings and be a good detached observer, give my good wishes to that person. Because even if I'm trying to correct that person, if I'm trying to, you know, tell him that what he's doing is wrong and he doesn't want to accept, he doesn't think it is wrong, then naturally my words will be a waste. Okay, if you think that it is wrong, you can give a suggestion, but nothing more than that. And if he does it, fine. If he doesn't, then we leave it up to him. We cannot take the law in our hands. Even Baba says so. The other day Baba said in the Murli, if you see someone doing wrong, okay, you report. You tell the seniors. But tell it in such a way that it's not that you have a grudge against that person, you are jealous with that person, but just for his goodness, just for his betterment, you are telling the seniors, otherwise it may be harmful for that person. But if the seniors ignore it, maybe they do ignore, even if they may not even listen, or they ignore, they don't take any action, then again we have to just be detached. We should not have this thought that I told the seniors, why didn't the seniors take any action? Why didn't they, scold that person? Why didn't they do it? We have no right to say that. Okay, we don't want to take the law in our hand, but we try to make the seniors do that. But seniors know better. They know better. And therefore, okay, we did our job. The rest is up to the seniors to decide. We are not the ones to judge. But then sometimes that the feeling of jealousy is so much in us that we want the other one to be punished. But it's not necessary that that person is going to be punished. And therefore we have to just become detached. And sometimes it also happens that when we see that the seniors are not taking any action, then we start taking the action. We start taking the law in our hand and we think that we are going to correct that person. But it's not going to help. It's going to make matters worse. It's only going to create enmity. And therefore Baba says, each soul is playing his own role. See and don't see. Hear and don't hear. Because you can't stop anybody from doing anything. You know, you can't stop him. So, see and don't see. You can't stop person from saying anything. And therefore, hear and don't hear. You can't force him to not speak. You can't force him to not do. Okay, maybe he listens to you and doesn't do at that time. But the moment you turn your back, he will start doing it again. And therefore Baba says, you cannot really teach anyone like that. You have to become a role model yourself if you really wish to teach anybody. You cannot teach by just saying in words. And therefore, you practice yourself and see how the other one will take inspiration from you. So you can't forcibly change anybody. See, Baba has been giving us knowledge for the past 80 years. And how much he tells in every murli. How much knowledge he gives us, how much dharana he tells us, but how many children really practice everything? But does Baba ever get upset? Does Baba get tired? No, he keeps on telling us, but then also he keeps on telling us that children, Baba knows a kingdom is being established. Some will become sovereigns, some will become subjects, some will become servants. So a sovereignty, a kingdom is being established and each one is going to have his own status. And that is dependent on the efforts he or she makes at this time. So just watch as a detached observer. The result is not out yet. Maybe someone is praised a lot, somebody is given a lot of respect, but his stage isn't very good. And still he's given some respect and lots of praise. But don't think, look at this person, his stage is not good at all. He doesn't wake up at Amrit Vela, doesn't read the Murli, doesn't do any service. But how he's being praised? Never mind. He must have done some good actions in the past. How do you know? We don't know. But his karma, Baba knows. His karma, the seniors know. And therefore we should never object to anything the seniors do, or nor should we get upset if the seniors are not carrying out the according to your opinion. And therefore Baba says, don't give sorrow. Each soul is playing his own part. I have to check myself. Where do I stand? How are my thoughts? How are my words? How are my actions? So what others are doing is their karma. I can just give my good wishes to them. And if I don't give my good wishes to them, they also will not give their good wishes to me. I need good wishes. I need pure feelings from others. So first I have to do the same if I want from them. And therefore Baba says, whenever you point a finger towards anyone else, at that time always check, 3 fingers are towards you. So if that person should change onefold, I should change 3-fold. Because if I change 3-fold, then that person will change 1-fold. If I don't change, even that one will not change. So I should not expect the other one to change, because I don't want to change either. And therefore Baba says, don't give sorrow to anyone. If you give sorrow, you will also receive sorrow. You will take sorrow. It is the result of your own karma. Because I have put that negativity in my mind. So I should have a clean mind for everyone, each and everyone. At that time I see Baba. I see Shiv Baba, I see Brahma Baba, I see the Dadis, really. How big-hearted they are. How they accommodate everyone. In front of Baba, so many types of children came. But how Baba accommodated everyone. Because he said, after all, they are my children. You know, even in a Laukik family, however bad the children may be, but still the parents accommodate them. They think, oh, it's our children. They are our children. Where else will we go to complain about them? And therefore we have to adjust. We have to accommodate. We have to tolerate. And therefore Baba also says, this whole Brahmin family is a family. We have come down from 84 births. The Laukik family, maybe we created karma in a few births only. But Brahmin family has been together right from the beginning of the cycle. Because it's the Brahmin family which is going to become the divine family, the deity family. So we were together at the beginning of golden age also. And therefore, this pure family, this Brahmin family is the true family. Those Laukiks, they are only relatives based on karmic accounts. If they are not following Baba's principles, if they are not taking Gyan, definitely they are just based on our karmic accounts which we have created for maybe a few births. But Brahmin family, we have been somehow or the other, somewhere or the other, in some way, we have been associated with each other. This is why we have come back as a Brahmin family. Although you belong to different countries, different backgrounds, everything may be different. But we have come together, we have recognized Baba, we have recognized our fortune, we have recognized this present, precious, auspicious time. So if that recognition is the same, and we are all remembering just one Baba, we have love for one Baba, it means we have been together in some way or the other in all the 84 births. Maybe this birth we were drifted away, you and somebody in Finland and somebody in South America, you know, north and south. But we have come together. So with this feeling, we should create that powerful thought that I should not give sorrow to anyone. And for that I have to check myself. How are my thoughts? How are my words? How are my actions? And never, never have a thought that this person should be given sorrow. No, you know, some people have even that intention. This person deserves to be unhappy. This person deserves to get sorrow. Nobody deserves anything. I'm not the one to decide. It's Baba who is to decide. How can I decide? I don't know what his karma is. I remember once, you know, brother Tulsi Bhai, who was in charge of cassettes just like now these brothers are recording. At that time he used to record. So one day I gave a class on karma philosophy. So someone went to him and said, give me Shilu Ben's karma philosophy. He said, well, sorry sister, I don't know Shilu Ben's karma philosophy. But the class she gave on karma philosophy, that I can give you. But her karma philosophy, how can I tell you? I am not the one who has written her her fate. So it's like that. We have not written anyone's fate. Neither has Baba written anyone's fate. We write our own fate on the basis of our own karmas. And therefore, we have to pay a lot of attention to ourselves to not give sorrow to anybody. And then the other part, to not take sorrow, maybe that is even more difficult. We do pay attention to ourselves to not give sorrow, but then so easily we take sorrow. Somebody says something and we immediately feel bad. Maybe that person did not have any intention, but I may feel bad. And why do I feel bad? Because of body consciousness, Baba says. Because of ego. You know, in Hindi there are rhyming words, abhiman and apman. I feel bad because I have ego in me. So I feel that he should not say like that to me. I get upset. Why did he say like this to me? And maybe he doesn't even know that he has said something to me. And therefore we just take sorrow unnecessarily. That person said and forgot about it, but we continue to take the sorrow. Why did he tell like that to me? What did he mean? I also should do something in return. I also, you know, have some reaction against him, and the result is we take sorrow. Usually, it's sometimes the other way around also. I have no bad intentions about somebody, but the other one takes sorrow. Sometimes it's I take sorrow. Sometimes I have no bad intention, the other one takes sorrow. Why the other one takes sorrow? And you may say, but sister, I had no bad feelings about that person. I don't. Why did he take sorrow? I didn't even say anything to him. But still he took sorrow or she took sorrow. Well, at that time, we have to really let go. Why? Because it is his karma, which is resulting in his sorrow. I have to first check myself if I am not responsible for giving sorrow, but still he feels that I gave sorrow and I feel that I didn't say anything, I didn't even think anything, but it is his karma, then definitely his own sanskars are giving him sorrow. Sometimes we do a lot of guesswork. This is what he must have meant, you know, this is guesswork. So we are guessing, we are suspecting, we are doubting. So this doubt, suspect and guessing, all this can also cause a lot of sorrow. Because even that's part of negative thinking, which may not be in the other person, but I am having those waste thoughts. Because I have the ego in me. That ego is causing all these waste thoughts. And therefore Baba says, if somebody says something which you don't like, okay, you have 2 years. 1 year, maybe through that 1 year it went in, but you have the other year, take it out. Or let go. Can we let go? What does a bird do? What does a bird do? In a second it can fly. It has wings. But what if a bird holds a twig or a branch of a tree so strongly and it sees the other birds flying? They are so light and they are so free and they are flying. And that bird who has clung, you know, with his claws, the twig or the branch, says, oh, please free me, please free me. How can anyone free him? He has to open his claws. He has to let go. If he doesn't let go, then what can anybody else do? And therefore, Baba says, we have to let go. It's a very nice phrase, let go and let God. Just put D after let go, put D, add G-O-D, D to go. And it becomes let God. Let God take care. Baba, you take care. Give your burden to Baba. Don't ever think that I should take revenge from that person. Baba says, no need to take revenge. We are all in our last birth. finishing our settling our karmic accounts. We have made so many sinful actions, we have committed those actions and we have a big burden of those sinful actions of 63 births. And in this one confluence age, only one birth, we have to finish the debts of 63 births and also accumulate the treasures for 21 births. So, 84 birth cycle, this is the time to settle everything. We have debts of 63 births. How much we'll have to earn for that? To finish the debts of 63 births, just imagine, if somebody is indebted and he has to give a lot of money which he has borrowed and he also has to save for the future. So how much has he to earn then? In today's Murli, Baba said, you have to be big, good businessman. And what type of business have we to do? We have to make sure that we don't meet any loss. A businessman takes care of his account very well. He doesn't want any loss in his account. He wants only profit. He will not do any business which is going to give him loss. And if he is indebted, he makes sure that he gets some profit so that he can finish off his debts. So he has not only to finish off his past debts, but he is also to accumulate for the future. So Baba says, 63 births, debts are on your head of sinful actions. And how will you finish those debts? Baba says, the easiest way is remember me. Remember me and I will absolve all your sins. My sins will be destroyed when I am in Baba's remembrance. And therefore when I say let go, let God take care, it means I'm helping myself to absolve my sins, my past karmas, whatever has happened. And therefore I can give a full stop in a second. Okay, never mind, my karma is finished. Baba said the other day in the Murli, even if you have any physical ailment, don't be upset. Karma finishing, some past karma finishing. So if I'm able to practice in this way and be soul conscious, because actually body conscious is the main cause of the sorrow which I take even for my body. Others may not give sorrow, but I take their sorrow or my own body's sorrow. It's all my body consciousness. It's all my ego. So my practice should be to finish my ego, to finish my ego. I have to be humble. I have to be humble. Only if I'm humble, I can make somebody else humble too. You know, in India when we do namaste, it's such a good feeling, you know. When we are pointing out a mistake of somebody, we point out only one finger and three fingers are towards the self and this thumb is upwards. That means God is He knows everything. That you are maybe one-fold, but I am three-fold. And God is observing everything. But when I am handshaking, I give all my five fingers to the other person. You are five times greater than me. Okay. And the other person also comes forward and shakes and puts his hand forward and handshakes. That means he too thinks that you are five times greater than me. But namaste, you are 10 times greater than me. 10 times. And not only saying namaste, but even bowing along with namaste. Paying salutations and also giving respect by putting the head down. And the other person in return also bends his head and says namaste with all his 10 fingers towards me. That means you are 10 times greater than me. And the other one says, you are 10 times greater than me. And there's so much love and respect for each other. And therefore, Baba says that we should neither take sorrow nor should we give sorrow. And the best way is soul consciousness. Through soul consciousness, we can easily not take sorrow nor give sorrow. Anything happens, just withdraw. Baba gives the example of a tortoise. What does a tortoise do? It withdraws. Hands, legs, limbs, all the limbs, the head also, it withdraws. It just goes inwards. So either let go, become like a bird and fly beyond, be detached, or go inwards. Become soul conscious. I'm a soul and I'm the master of my senses. And immediately I can control all my ill feelings or my bad intentions or bad thoughts or whatever. In a second, I am a soul. And if something happens, it has happened. Okay, it has happened. But after that, I should be able to give a full stop to. So one is to go beyond by saying let go. The other is to go inwards. And the third is to just a full stop. Be where you are. Neither backward nor forward. Be where you are. Attention. I have to check myself. Where am I? What am I doing? Once Baba said, gave a very beautiful example. Baba said, whenever you want to do anything, at that time, find out, if Baba would be in my place, what would Baba do? Because I have to become Bab Saman. If Baba would be here instead of me, what would Baba do? Would Baba take revenge? Would Baba get upset? Would Baba give sorrow? Would Baba do anything against them, any maryada, any disciplines? Would Baba go against Srimad? Definitely not. So if Baba would not do it, I also don't have to do it because I have to follow Baba's footsteps. Some people think that, you know, in today's world, they think tolerance is cowardice. Why should I tolerate? I should give tit for tat. Why should I tolerate? But Baba says, no, tolerance is not cowardice. Tolerance is a very big virtue. Through tolerance, you are not only settling your karmic accounts, but through tolerance, you are also helping that person to change. Because if I have to really, you know, change that person, I have to tolerate. If I am tit for tat, that person is not going to change. And especially when he's in that upset state, in that angry mood, you are trying to make him understand. He's not going to understand. You have to be quiet at that time. You know, I used to watch Dadiji, Dadi Prakashmani. How somebody, you know, once came to Dadi and started telling Dadi, Dadi, you should not have done like this. Dadi, what you did was wrong. Dadi, this was not right. You know, he just went on saying so loudly. And everybody was watching. Look at this person telling Dadi this. And Dadi was just quiet, quiet, quiet. She didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. And we all watched Dadi. How her reaction was. Very quiet, very silent, very peaceful. And he went on saying. And ultimately, of course, how long could he go on? He stopped and then he looked around and we were all watching him. And Dadi was quiet, very peaceful. She didn't say a word. But after that, the realization came to him. And he said, Dadi, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry. But at that time, if Dadi would have reacted, how dare you say that? I know what I am. I'm in charge. I'm the administrative head. You have no right to tell me anything. What would happen? Dadi was the administrative head. How could anybody come in front of Dadi and say like that? They used to come in front of Brahma Baba also. See what you have done. You know, the husband would come to the wife and, you know, to Baba and say that you are the one who has told my wife to lead a pure life. You have ruined my family. You have done this. You have done that. And Baba used to remain quiet, very quiet, very quiet, and give peaceful sakash, pure vibrations to that soul. And after all the, you know, bubbling was finished, and then that person would definitely calm down, then Baba would say, you know, Brahma Baba would say, child, it's not me. I did not say it. Shri Baba said it. Now who is Shri Baba? This one doesn't know. I give you a very interesting example. Very interesting. It so happened that it was in 1962, there was a war between India and China. Big war happened between India and China. And China took away a lot of our land, you know. And India lost because India was not really prepared. China was so strong. India was not prepared. And we had to lose some land. And Baba said in one murli that, why is Bharat really, you know, fighting in such a way? Never mind if China took some land, doesn't matter. Because afterwards, at the end, you are going to get the whole world. The whole world will become yours. Bharat will rule over the whole world. Doesn't matter if China has taken some land. Now this murli went to somebody and he thought that maybe these Brahma Kumaris are spies of China. You can imagine, you know, how far it went. And it also went to the Prime Minister that this is what the Guru has said, that doesn't matter if India has given some land to China, but, I mean, doesn't matter. That's all they read. Nothing after that. One day the whole world will be Bharat and all that. They didn't read, but just never mind if this land was given to China. So investigation started happening, the CID, you know, Central Investigation Bureau, all that means then the some people went to one center, another center, and started investigating. So they said, well, it's not us, go to Mount Abu. These murlis come from Mount Abu. So two CID inspectors, they came to Mount Abu. And, well, first of all, the sisters were not wanting that Baba should meet them because they are going to, I don't know what they will say to Baba. But Baba said, no, call them. So they sat in front of Baba. And but the moment they saw Baba, you know, Baba's stage was so high, you can imagine, so elevated. And he was looking at them in such a loving way. So they also like melted in front of Baba. They could not say much. But then very softly they said, Baba, this is, we have come for this purpose. And did you say these words that never mind if some land has gone to China, doesn't matter. Did you say these words? We are fighting for land. And how could you say such words, Baba? And Baba very sweetly said, child, you know that Almighty, All Authority, He came and said it. I didn't say it. Now what did those people know about Almighty Authority speaking through this body? They didn't understand. You know, then where is that Almighty Authority you're talking about? So Baba said, He came, spoke and went away. Went away? Then when will He come again? Well, He will come again. So then they said to Baba, Baba, when He comes again, you tell Him not to say it again. That's all. Finished. No other arguments, no other discussion. Okay, Baba will tell that one who spoke through this mouth to not say it again. But this one did not say it. And then of course Baba started giving knowledge to that person, praising Bharat, how Bharat is the sovereign of the world and all that. So then they realized and then they went and gave their report that this organization is a very good organization. It talks about spirituality and all the good report was given, so that was finished, you know. But at the beginning it became such a big thing and everybody was afraid, well, they're going to Baba and what will they do to Baba, what will they say to Baba, what will Baba tell them. But Baba's stage was so high, you know, that they really could not say anything. And they went back very happy, very peaceful and realized that this is a very great organization. So, Baba says that if your stage is high, then even if somebody says anything to you, you should not worry. It shouldn't matter to you. At that time, actually, that person is a very weak soul. That person is a very unhappy soul. That person is like a slave of his sanskars. But you are above, no? You are higher. And therefore, whatever we do, we have to first check, if Baba would be in this place, what would Baba do? I have to do the same. What would Dadiji do? What would our seniors do? We always check. Because we take inspirations from them. And therefore, to not give sorrow, to not take sorrow. No guesswork, no doubts, nothing. We don't have to. Because Baba has told us, children, ultimately you are going to be victorious. Victory is your birthright. And therefore, have that faith. Victory is my birthright. Have that faith and then the intoxication, and that will give you the true happiness, Baba said in today's Murli also. Faith will lead to intoxication, intoxication will lead to happiness. And if I can have that faith and the intoxication and be happy, contented within, then I will easily be able to give happiness to others. I cannot give happiness to others if I am not happy myself. I will be able to give only what I have. Somebody asks me for something, but I don't have it. How can I give it? Sometimes Baba says that if somebody is asking for water and you give him variety dishes of food, he will not be happy. You'll have to give him what he is wanting. Similarly, if somebody is wanting something from me, but if I don't have it myself, how will I be able to give it? I can give it only if I have it myself. And therefore, Baba says, you have to become full yourself with happiness, with love, with peace, because at the end, souls are going to come to you. They'll be very weak souls. And even one drop will be enough for them. Just your drishti will be enough for them. They will not ask for more. Even one drop will quench their thirst, because that is what we'll be able to give at the end to everyone. That's what we'll be able to give to everyone. And therefore, we have to now become full. We still have some time for ourselves. A time will come when we will not have time for ourselves. People will be demanding from us. We have to make our centers also so powerful so that people will come looking, searching for peace and happiness at our centers. You know, now the situation is such that people, when they come to us, they say, well, you all teach very good things. Even other people teach good things. Nothing different. No difference. You are good. Even others are good. And you are good people, that's what they say. You are very good people and you teach very good things. Okay, that's it. So you do and others also do. Others do and you also do. That's what they say now. But Baba says, a time will come when they will say, you are the only ones. You are the only ones. Because everywhere they will experience just darkness, sorrow, suffering, torture, pain, unhappiness, misery. And here they will see happiness, peace, love. purity, because purity is the foundation of all these virtues, based on knowledge. So now they say, here also, but then they will say, here only, because everywhere there will be darkness and they will be pulled here towards the light. Baba gave a very beautiful example where if somebody is in a very dark jungle, no electricity, no light, and he is lost. But then, as he is moving around in the jungle, he sees some light somewhere, maybe a little far, but he sees a light. Now he will be attracted towards that light, because definitely there will be a human being there. If there's some light there, there'll definitely be a human being and he'll be pulled there. So in the midst of all that darkness, that little light is enough for that person to be pulled towards that light. And therefore Baba says at the end, there'll be darkness all around, sorrow, suffering around, and people will be looking for peace and they will come to you. So that's how your centers have to be, your homes have to be, with so much power, magnetic power around you, so that souls are pulled. And for one second too, if they get that powerful drishti from you, that will lead to their liberation in life and liberation from life. They will be relieved and they will go to mukti and jivan mukti. So Baba says, we have to be such torch bearers, guiding other souls. But for that, how are we ourselves? Because unless we are full, we will not be able to give anyone. And therefore, now is the time to really become full. That's why you come to Madhuban. Madhuban is a place to fill yourself. And in Madhuban, you should not think of anything else. Nothing. Because if you think of your worries, your tensions, your sorrows, your problems here, then how will you fill yourselves? Baba says, you have to leave that behind. Now is the time to fill. You know, when you are charging your mobile, it's always said, whilst charging, don't speak, don't use it. Don't speak on the phone when it is being charged. Remove the charger, remove the plug, and then you may speak. So whilst it's being charged, let it remain there to be charged. Similarly, Baba says, now is the time in Madhuban to experience the charge. Fill yourself so much that you will be able to face your problems, whatever you have there, with that strength. But here, if you are thinking of those problems, how will you charge yourself? So in order to be able to face those situations, wherever you have come from, when you go back, you have to do that. You have to fill yourself. So don't bring the problems here. I remember once somebody was in front of Dadi and that sister was talking about her problems. Dadi, this problem, that problem. And Dadi told her this. She said, see, you have come to Madhuban to charge yourself. If you think of those problems here, how will you charge yourself? But then, Dadi, when I go back, then I'll have to face the situation again. Dadi, when I return, then again this problem will come. Dadi said, why are you thinking of that now? How do you know it's going to come back? How do you know the situation is going to be bad when you go back? It can change. And if you are strong enough here, then maybe it can get corrected here itself. When you are here and it's corrected there, you won't even know. So don't carry those problems with you here. You leave them there and come here to charge yourself and then become strong. And if anything happens, you'll be able to face that. Doesn't matter. You know, in Mount Abu, we have many training camps here of the police, of the army, air force. We have a lot of training camps here. So the army people come here to get training. So this is the peace time for them, because they have to go to the battlefront, they have to go to the borders, you know, the frontiers. So, but here they come to train themselves. Here there are no enemies. Everything is very peaceful here, very quiet here. But then they train themselves here, and they know that when they get trained, they'll be able to face the enemy wherever they go, you know. So this is the training period even for Brahmins. To come to Madhuban, Baba uses two words sometimes. What is Madhuban? Madhuban is the powerhouse. You come here to charge yourselves. Madhuban is the ocean. You come here to fill yourselves, like clouds fill from the ocean. And then they go and burst wherever there's need of water. So you are clouds here who have come to fill yourselves with strength, with power, with all the virtues, so that when you go back, you can distribute to everyone. You have come here to charge yourselves, and that's what you have to do in Madhuban. Don't think of anything else. And when you are full, then of course, wherever you go, you will surely give happiness to all, and you will also constantly remain happy. Om Shanti. Thank you. Okay. So take this from Madhuban and go back fully charged. Om Shanti.